the wait is over. Finally time to open the curtain and see what you got. Tigers at home against Georgia Southern. Raging Cajuns in the Dome against the Bulldogs. The Saints, will it be tough to get to 53? We'll see. And we'll give you Monday's headlines on a Friday. Today, Friday, August 30th, 2019.
Outside to the 30. He's loose to midfield. To the 30. 20. 10. Touchdown. 90 yards.
Protection holds up.
And there he
goes.
Deep
down the middle. Wide open and available. There's Jordan little Jordan Humphrey, the rookie undrafted out of Texas.
Corbin limping around a little bit after that carry. Now third down 9 for A&M. Mond to put it in the air. Gets flushed from the pocket. On the run. Uncorks one. And that one is to Jamon Osmond. And he's got it at the 1.
Look at this throw. Are you kidding me?
Wilson flushed.
Intercepted. Picked off by Utah. Francis Bernard, the former BYU Cougar, runs it back.
Blackman has a pick six that really got the soaring started for the Utes, and this is just a phenomenal play. Bernard there was supposed to be inside, but you saw him, his awareness. They talked about how intelligent this guy is.
I felt like his awareness was great. I felt like he felt super comfortable in there. And when the quarterback feels comfortable, the other 10 guys feel comfortable as well. You know, he made some great decisions, which helped get us in scoring position, and you got to love that. You know, he's a guy that just shows up every day. Doesn't say much, but, you know, he's quietly becoming a leader, for sure.
Welcome. A Thursday night of football now turns into Football Friday. Thanks for dialing us up. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show. The Holy War was a bludgeoning by the Utah Utes. That was no problem. Clemson had no trouble as Travis Etienne, Louisiana native, 12 carries, 205 yards. That's a career high. 3 touchdowns. A 90-yard run, a career long. He averaged 17.1 yards per carry. Hello, Travis Etienne, flourishing in Clemson. And you know what? Vegas is pretty darn good. The A&M Texas State line was 34. The Aggies won by 34. The Clemson Georgia Tech line was 37. Clemson won by 38. Vegas is pretty good at what they do. CD in the Master Control Suite in the 237 Roost Studios on the campus of Delta Media, KLWB, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Yours truly here, Studio 1A. We got a big, big, big day planned for you and yours. And it all starts, let me give you the lineup, all right? The Saints lose preseason game number 4. Who cares? The question mark is their 53-man roster has to be determined by 3 p.m. Saturday. Saturday. Larry Holder will join us from The Athletic as he does each and every day at the 2:15 mark. It's another college football season. Therefore, the Nickel Report returns. The ambassador of Crowley, Louisiana, Jim Nickel, will tell us everything we need to know about Georgia Southern. Then we'll have, in conjunction with that, another edition of Jordy and the Judge. Doug Morrow, the LSU All-American, played in the NFL, he was an attorney, became a judge in the Baton Rouge system, right? Was the district attorney, and for the past 40-some-odd years, he's been in the booth calling LSU football games. You'll hear Doug Saturday night right here on 103.7 The Game as the Tigers and the Eagles kick it off for the season opener. That's just hour number 1. Hour number 2, a little version of the Friday 5 of Hot Topics. George Faust, sports director, KLFY. We'll talk about some of the big high school games coming up. plus everything you need to know about the Raging Cajuns. Can they pull off the upset? I remember LSU playing in the Superdome. It wasn't named the Mercedes-Benz Superdome then, but it was named the Superdome, and they took on Tulane. LSU sleptwalked through the first half and had to get out of that game by the hair on their chinny-chin-chin, so maybe that comes into play. Plus, we'll give you Monday's headlines on a Friday. CD, George Becknell, and I will give you our thoughts on what's going to happen this weekend. Every time in Southern Louisiana, it's very, very vital that we come up with what's the weather going to be like. No problem for the Raging Cajuns this weekend. It's going to be 70 degrees inside the comfort of the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. But high school football tonight, we got LSU and Tiger Stadium. We go to our weather forecaster for the Stars, Chris Cozart of KLFY, to get us started on this Football Friday. Chris, good afternoon. Is it going to be hot, steamy? I can handle that, but is it going to rain? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I think we're good to go for not only tonight, but if you're heading to New Orleans or for the big game there in LSU, the first night there in Death Valley. I think, again, pretty low rain chances. We know those pop-up showers and storms that happen during the afternoon hours, but even for this evening, I think we're good to go for those high school games.
All right. You know, the games, the sun's going to go down, the Stars are going to come out, the lights will be turned on. I guess what factors into everything is, yeah, it's going to be hot, but what's the humidity factor going to be like?
Well, it actually could be a little bit worse. You know, we had a weak cold front come through. It's still going to be sticky. You know, the kids are going to need to hydrate, and you're probably still going to want to have something cold in the stand as well to drink, you know, some cold water or something like that. It could be worse, but it's going to be a typical summer evening, summer night across South Louisiana there. So it will get pretty muggy.
Kickoff for LSU, 6:30. I guess the same holds true to form for that one.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're only looking at about a 10 to 20% chance of rain there for your Saturday. So if you're going over there early to tailgate, you're good to go. Now, again, it will be hot during the day, but by the time we get to those evening hours, things start to cool off. And, you know how they say, it doesn't rain in Death Valley. So I think they're good to go tomorrow.
That's true. You just did it, Chris. It guaranteed to rain now. I'm just kidding. Chris Cozart, KLFY. One last meteorological question. Do we have any concerns about Dorian in this part of the world?
Not where we're at, and Florida's on high alert right now, and we'll see how everything plays out. It will be. I think it could be a lot closer call for Florida where they may actually miss out, but I think for the most part, they're in for a pretty hefty storm there, something they're going to have to watch. And it won't be until really Tuesday morning for landfall. So they have the entire Labor Day weekend to prepare. But over here on our side, we're fine.
Chris Cozart, thank you so much. Hot, sticky, but we might avoid some rain showers, and that's always great. Thank you for the update. We'll look forward to doing this on Fridays throughout the football season, buddy. So, we appreciate it greatly.
Yep, sounds good. I look forward to it.
All right, Chris Cozart of KLFY with your weather forecast. Again, LSU 6:30 kickoff. Remember, the season opener is here on 103.7 The Game. Kickoff is at 6:30, meaning pregame show at 4:30. If you're going to listen on the radio and you wanted to watch it on television, it was originally scheduled on ESPNU. But because of the broadcast had to shuffle some things, Boise State, Florida State, they moved that one from Jacksonville to Tallahassee. Anyway, make a long story short, the game is now going to be on the SEC network. Time is the same. Opponent is the same. Just the channel has changed. So LSU versus Georgia Southern here on 103.7 The Game, radio-wise, on television, on the SEC network. Okay? There you have that. So, lots to talk about. And we'll get this Football Friday started with what happened last night. It doesn't matter that the Saints lost to the Miami Dolphins. Who cares? The question is, who improved their chances to make the roster? And on the flip side, who saw their chances go out the window? Larry Holder of The Athletic gives us all the information next. Football Friday, the Jordy Helfberg Show, 103.7 The Game. 1037thegame.com.
is back and better than ever as you're locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
All right, let's get this Football Friday underway. The Dolphins outlasted the Saints 16-13 in the preseason finale last night in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Who cares? The next time the Saints play, it'll be a lot more meaningful. That'll be on September the 9th when they host the Houston Texans, J.J. Watt and company. Is Jadeveon Clowney going to be on the team yet? I don't know. But Larry Holder here to join us to talk about those that improved their opportunities and those that saw their opportunities go by the wayside. Again, Saturday, 3 p.m. latest, Saints have to get down to 53. And how difficult will that be? Larry, good afternoon. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Jordy, how are you, buddy?
I'm terrific. So, gee whiz, I don't think they can keep both, but Emmanuel Butler, little Jordan Humphrey. Butler kind of owned the practice sessions, but that darn little Jordan Humphrey made the best of it when he was in games, right? So who wins out and why?
Yeah, it's funny because people probably think, what are you guys talking about? You've been talking about Emmanuel Butler all the time, and then he's had a couple of drops, and then all little Jordan Humphrey does is make plays in games. So I think that Butler is going to win out on this. I think he's going to make the team. And all he had to do was kind of hear the way some of the players were talking about him after the game, specifically mm-hmm. someone like Teddy Bridgewater, the way Sean Payton and Drew Brees have spoken about Emmanuel Butler. I think he's going to make this team. Now, that's not to say that Humphrey can't kind of circle back around and be on the practice squad. Because I think that could happen, but still, I don't think they want to expose Butler to the waiver wire because I don't think he would get back to them to be on the practice squad. So I think he's going to stick to this roster. And now, okay, see, we're talking about these guys, and people are like, "Well, how much is he going to play in the regular season?" He might be inactive for all I know. Uh-huh. He might not uh-huh. be this big piece to the puzzle, but I think he's just someone that I think they want to see develop, and they don't want to give him or an opportunity to be picked off by another team after being waived if they would go that route, which I don't think they will.
Makes perfect sense. Larry Holder of The Athletic. You like that nickname that Bridgewater gave him, eBay? Is that, you like that one?
I don't know if I'm Emmanuel Butler, I totally enjoy that one. I just think back, whenever I think that, and they're like, he's like in the bargain bin, I think back to like 40-year-old virgin when the woman had the, I'll sell your stuff on the eBay store. It's like, no, you don't need to do that. But I would say it's creative. It's more creative than, say, when Drew Brees would just add a Y or an IE after everyone's last name, like Cooksey and all this. So I'll go with eBay. I think that actually has some cleverness to it.
Have you formed a better opinion of the quarterback position, Bridgewater, Taysom Hill? I mean, when Drew Brees retires, are one of those guys going to be the quarterback, or are they going to have to go find somebody else?
Yeah, and this is going to be the last stop, at least we would assume, that we would see really those two guys in significant action at quarterback. We'll see Taysom more in the regular season, and we probably won't ever see Teddy. But I think they have to keep their options open. It's not like Teddy had an overall poor performance. I mean, people might harp on it, what happened with the Chargers, but I think you could see after that, the game before that and his performance in the other three preseason games, I think he's fine. He's stable. Is he Drew Brees? No. And so if you think someone else is out there to draft, maybe in this draft, I think they have to keep their options completely open. I don't think they're going to totally just dive in and say, all right, Teddy's our guy. All right, Taysom's the guy. I think they need to keep their options open. And whenever that day comes, it's going to have to be a legitimate quarterback battle to see who would win out because I don't I can't just go out and say, all right, one of these two are going to be the guy. I can't do it.
Right, right. I'm with you. It's almost unfair because what is Drew Brees better than anybody else? He's his accuracy. Nobody's as accurate as he is. So you look at Brees and Bridgewater, you can't help but say, oh, really? No, it's got to be somebody better than that. It's basically almost unfair. All right, Larry Holder, The Athletic. What does this come down to? What's going to be the toughest decision in your mind for this coaching staff to get to the final cut number?
I'll throw out a couple of scenarios. I think figuring out what to do up front as far as defensive tackle, I think that's the fact that Sheldon Rankins is off the PUP list actually complicates things. Because he has to eat up a roster spot now. So what do you do? Onyemata's out for week one. But I'm just talking like the immediate future. Like week one, you got to figure it out. And then after that, it gets a little easier. So I'm wondering what they do at defensive tackle. Then you look at wide receiver. I think that's something that's going to be intriguing to watch. Third running back with Dwayne Washington getting a concussion in the third preseason game. I think Ezigbo, to me, has done enough to make a roster.
Look good.
So what do you do there? I'm curious to see that is the offensive line depth. Do the Saints get bold and say, hey, we don't like Nick Easton enough and eat the money? I don't know if that happens. Same thing at corner. Do they get bold and say, well, we don't think you're cutting it, Patrick Robinson, and do that? You know, I do think that there are some tougher decisions that maybe we might anticipate. I would say maybe a week or two ago, we weren't really talking about Easton and P-Rod being right. Like, okay, these guys might not have a job. And, it's something we're going to have to wait and see.
Is there a name that is going to, other than what you just mentioned, is there another name out there that might surprise us as he didn't make it? Maybe somebody in the secondary?
Like I said, I mean, the two names I named would probably be the more surprising of the bunch, okay, just because they cost decent money to the team. Like Patrick Robinson's salary is guaranteed. I mean, you really want to eat $4 million?
Gotcha.
So I think that's something that they've got to go with here. And then, other than that, I'm trying to really think I don't think there's going to be like super some stunner like,
okay,
I don't know. I'll just draw a name like Ted Ginn gets cut. No, I don't see anything totally
right
off the wall
right
that we haven't
okay
spoken about coming.
All right. So we'll find out the 53-man roster. Boy, Tulane was impressive in there. Debut, weren't they?
Yeah, that's where I was. I did not go to the Saints-Miami game.
I don't blame you.
I went to Tulane FIU, and, man, I thought Tulane would win the game. I thought it was going to be a really close game. It was not even close. It was 42-14, destruction. Justin McMillan played
wow
a fantastic game. It seems like he fits in to exactly what their new offensive coordinator, Will Hall. He's kind of a hot name. You heard a lot about Joe Brady, but Will Hall came from Memphis, and his offense is a little more wide open, and it suited McMillan right away and all their skill pieces. And defensively, Tulane, I figured, would be good anyway, pretty good. And they absolutely shut down a team that was 9-4 last year and really
yeah
embarrassed them a couple years ago. And it just shows you how far Tulane has come since that bad loss they had a couple of years ago at FIU.
Willie Fritz is a good football coach. There's no question about that. And all the improvements to Yulman Stadium, and they're starting to recruit better. So good for them. How cool is it, seriously, to be from River Ridge and be on the East Bank Little League World Series championship squad? Now they get to ride in Bacchus during Mardi Gras. I mean, how cool is that?
Well, I think it's personally cool because I grew up in River Ridge. So I personally think it's even cooler.
Me too. Wait a minute. Time out.
Yeah.
Well, I lived on Tudor Avenue my entire life.
I lived on Diane Avenue, went to St. Matthew.
Jeez. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Small. The world gets smaller with us, Jordy. Wow.
I knew I liked you, Larry, but gee whiz. Unbelievable. But they get to be in Bacchus, those little kids. No booze, though.
I know. Well, hey, you never know. Hey, people might get a little wild. You never know. But it's something that even growing up in River Ridge, like all the playground ball you played, you were never attached to Little League. It was always Dixie Youth and Babe Ruth and all that. And Dizzy Dean, you were never in the Little League, so you could watch it on TV. But, the fact that they put a team together, and I think it's pretty awesome. I mean, no one can take that away from them. They'll have that for the rest of their lives. And I'm glad people are celebrating for those kids.
I was all field, no hit. And they tried to make me a picture, and I threw like 2,000 warm-up pitches, and my arm was shot. So that was my Little League career right there.
My Little League career was watching Wally Poniff and Metairie Playground beat me as a 10-year-old in the East Bank Championships for JPRD. I was actually playing for Harahan at that time. I was not playing for Little Palms at the time, I've got that going for me. Yeah, exactly.
They have a plaque of me in Little Farms. The East Jeff Biddy basketball team beat West Jeff, and we owned the city when it came to hoops, baby. So the Little Farms Pirates, that's where it was at, man. I'm telling you, that was fun. Anyway, Larry. All right. So two quick scores: LSU, Georgia Southern. What you got?
Going to be closer than people might think. I might go 31-14 or something. I just think it's going to be a little bit closer than maybe people might imagine. So I'm going to go 31-14.
All right, and inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, Mississippi State and the Raging Cajuns, what do you think?
Oh, boy, I think the Cajuns, I think they've certainly got a shot. I mean, new starting quarterback for Mississippi State coming in. I'm going to go Mississippi State 28. I'll go the Cajuns 24.
From one River Ridge rat to another. Can't believe it. Have a great weekend, my friend. We always look forward to talking with you.
All right, Jordy, stay off Suave Road. Don't get in any trouble on there, all right?
never go down Suave. But Hickory Dickory Dock is in play. We'll be back. This is the Jordy Helpert Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. The Nickel Report next.
This is everything you need to know about the Tigers' opponent on Saturday. Time for the Nickel Report.
Back by popular demand. Yes, it is. You know it's football season when we get the privilege of speaking with the ambassador of Crowley, Louisiana, the one, the only, Jim Nickel. Another season is upon us, my friend. How are you?
Great, great, Jordy. Good to be back with you and your listeners. And hello to everybody in Acadiana. Can't wait for another fun year doing the Nickel Report with you.
We got some good games coming up and some unusual teams. So I'm looking forward to all that your crack research team does. But without further ado, here's the season opener, Nickel Report.
Georgia Southern, founded in 1906. Of course, all Jordy Hultberg Show listeners know LSU was founded in 1860. It's located in Statesboro, Georgia. That's the southeastern part of Georgia, just basically southeast of Atlanta, if you want to think of it that way, near the coast of Georgia, but not quite on the coast. Population about 31,000. I can't tell you how many names the school has had. It's had a lot of them, but in 1990, they became Georgia Southern. About 23,000 students. Their endowment, $64 million. LSU's right at $845 million. We've been stuck there for quite a while. Tuition to go to Georgia Southern.
I was going to say, we've been there for a while. We got to get up to that million mark. Billion mark.
Yeah, so that A&M neighborhood. Tuition, $6,300, $17,000 if you want to send your kid from Lafayette over to Georgia Southern. That's the out-of-state tuition. Very good business school, top 12, according to Newsweek. And, of course, and Newsweek ranked it top 100 best value in public colleges. They're known as the Eagles, but they started out as the Blue Tide. Then they became the Professors. And then, thankfully, they got rid of that name. The students voted, and they picked Eagles over the Colonels. Their live mascot is Freedom. They've got a live bald eagle. Not sure if that bald eagle will be in Tiger Stadium, but nonetheless, I think their costume mascot will be there, and his name is Gus. Of course, Chris Blair, the voice of the Tigers, was the voice of the Eagles for 10 years. And by the way, Chris's birthday will be Saturday in Tiger Stadium on game day. Famous attendees: Fred Stokes, who played defensive end for the Rams and the Redskins and won a Super Bowl. Michael Curry, somebody Jordy knows. He's a former head coach of the Detroit Pistons. Yeah. Cole Swindell, the country and western singer, who, by the way, is very good friends with Louis Bourgeois, who has returned to the LSU training staff. But Cole will not be at the game. He's a big LSU football fan and a Georgia Southern grad. He's actually going to be in Anchorage, Alaska. Buddy Alexander. Now, there's a name that should ring a bell with older LSU. He graduated from Georgia Southern, was the golf coach at LSU. Florida came calling, gave him a raise. He went to Florida. He won two NCAA championships. He was the seven-time SEC Coach of the Year. And by the way, Buddy Alexander, he won the 1986 U.S. Amateur in golf, which is quite an accomplishment. Luke Bryan, everybody knows who Luke Bryan is. He attended Georgia Southern. Hala Mottlemog, the CEO of Arby's. And then with all this chicken sandwich craze, I had to throw this in. The president of Chick-fil-A, Daniel Cathy, is a Georgia Southern grad. In football, they've played in the Sun Belt Conference, same conference as UL, Lafayette, and UL Monroe. They've won 10 Southern Conference championships. They won the Sun Belt Conference championship in 2014, two Division II championships. I'm sorry, Division II national championships six times. Their head coach, Chad Lunsford, he was the director of scouting at Auburn for about 5 years back in the earlier 2000s. By the way, Georgia Southern, they play LSU, they play ULL, and they play UL Monroe all in the same season this year. And this game in Tiger Stadium will be the only game that Georgia Southern plays on natural gas. After that, it's full tilt, triple option on the turf. And that is the Nickel Report.
A little Luke Bryan in the background here for you and yours.
There you go.
So how was your summer, Jim? What occupied your time this summer? Let everybody know.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I finally made the trip. I've always wanted to make a personal bucket list. Went to Scotland and played golf. Played Troon, played all of them. Played St. Andrews, played Carnoustie, played all the ones that are on the open rotation. Weather was fabulous. Went with a great group of guys, including Dr. Bankston, who's the LSU team doctor, and Fred Dupree, who was an All-American golfer at LSU. And we just had a fabulous time. But my summer was that and a great trip with the girls to the beach. And now we're back at it. Here we go. Playing football in August. Kind of weird, but ready to go to Tiger Stadium. So.
Ready. Haven't played in many times in August. What do you hope to see Saturday night from this? Everybody swears we're going to have a new offense. So let's see it, right?
Yeah. I think we'll see some of that offense. I mean, I don't know if we'll see a lot of it. They want to hold some of it protected. And down the road, I want to see our offensive line give some protection to Joe Burrow so he can get rid of the ball. I want to see how this kicker kicks, and maybe we'll get some field goal situations. He's been really good in practice, but apparently in the game simulation in football ops with the band playing and the crowd noise, you know, he's got some growing up to do. He's got the leg, no doubt about it. He's got the talent. Got to get the kicker. I want to see our return game. I hear Stingley's amazing on the returns. Let's see what happens. So I'm looking for some of the intangibles. I have confidence Dave Aranda will have this defense on assignment. Everybody will stay in their spot. And this is a dangerous quarterback. This guy can run with the ball like nobody's business. We got to contain them and win the game. But I'd sure like to see what I haven't seen so far in college football, and that is attention to detail and not as many mistakes. Yeah. Some of these early games have been so sloppy, it's really been hard to watch. But hopefully LSU can come out sharp and play well, knock on wood, no injuries, and then head to Austin, for which is going to be, and I don't like to look ahead, and we'll talk about that next week, but that should be epic. But, yeah, we got to take care of business. The Eagles are no slacks. We need to win this game tomorrow night and take care of business.
But if you have to play a triple option team, it's best to play them game one. It gives you a lot of time to prepare, to understand what the nuances are. I don't want to play this game between Alabama and Texas A&M or whoever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you know, there's an old story that when Saban got the job, he went to Skip Berkman and told him he didn't want Houston on the schedule. He said, "We're not playing Houston next year, coach." And Saban said, "No, we play him in 3 years, and I don't want to prepare my defense for one game for that team because they ran some similar option." And he goes, "You've already watched film for the next 3 years?" He goes, "Oh, yes, I have." And that's a, you know, a famous story Skip tells about Nick. But, yeah, just get this triple option thing out of the way and let's start playing what we would call traditional football moving forward.
Okay, last one. What was your best round on what course in Scotland?
My best round was ironically at Trump Turnberry, and it was the last day. I played my best golf early in the trip and late in the trip, and in between was really ugly. But it was a lot of fun, and the people of Scotland are a lot of fun. The caddies are fun. The Scotch is fun. It was an all-around good time, for sure.
Massages for everyone. You're the best, Jim Nickel with the Nickel Report. I don't know how many years we've been doing this, but let's keep it going as long as we can, buddy. Have fun in the booth with Chris and Doug and the gang, and we'll talk about the professor at UT, Matthew McConaughey, next week. How about that?
Looking forward to it. All the best to you and your listeners. Y'all have a great weekend.
The ambassador of Crowley, Louisiana, and our Nickel Report originator, Jim Nickel, here on the Jordy Helfrich Show. It's football season. We got to hear from Doug Morrow on the Tigers next.
Time to talk Tigers with former All-American Doug Morrow. All rise! It's another edition of Jordy and the Judge.
Always great to have the longtime color analyst, the former LSU All-American, and most important to me, my good friend Doug Morrow, joining us for another college football season. Doug, good afternoon, my friend. You excited about another season of LSU football, I suppose?
Hello, great one. I hope you're doing fine. I understand you had some phone problems. I hope you got them all fixed. And it is great to have a chance to talk to you again.
What year does this make? I have to ask you every year, but what year does this make up dealing with LSU football in the broadcast booth?
I tried to figure it out. I think I've told you this in the past, and I can only settle between 46 and 48. I'm not sure,
That's
so I call it 47.
It's unbelievable, and we're thrilled that you're back for yet another season. Your thoughts, you've seen LSU football, you know, in some preseason games, as Coach O likes to talk about it. Just everybody's been pinpointing this season as a possible great season for LSU football. Do you see the talent there? Do you see the chemistry, the camaraderie, all the things that you know it takes to be successful? Do you see that from afar?
The things that you mentioned, which are all important in order for a team to have great success, LSU has the potential to achieve an A in every one of those categories. They have, I think, I'll go through a few of them just as an example.
Okay.
For one thing,
okay,
they've got a quarterback who won his team over last year as the season went on. He got better and better and better. And then in the bowl game, he took a cheap shot on a pass that he threw that was intercepted, got off the mat, and led the team to victory. And that, mm-hmm. boy, you talk about a guy winning the team over with his performance in that game, because it was a tough – Central Florida had a good team. LSU did not have hardly anybody in the secondary that started the season there. They ended up with wide receivers playing back there. They took safeties, put them at cornerback. But nonetheless, they won the bowl game. And what happens, of course, as you know, at the end of the season, the last game of the season is the one that fans remember. So as the spring moved on, following winter, and then into the summer, what people looked back at and remembered was that victory over Central Florida, and also the players who were stars in that game. and most of those players are back. The one that they're missing is Devin White, but they've replaced Devin White with numbers rather than just one skilled player. So every position, I think LSU's got better people or the same people but who are more experienced and therefore have improved. And they also have depth for the first time in a long time at a lot of positions. So, you know, we've talked in the past, Jordy, people like Tyrann Mathieu, the importance of, for people like that is that they're playmakers. They are somebody that in the course of important games will make two or three outstanding plays that turn the tide of a game. LSU's got about 10 or 12 of those guys on this team. Generally, you only have one, if any. But they've got about 10 or 12, and they come in the form of receivers. They've got a running back. They've got a quarterback. They've got safeties. They've got linebackers. They've got defensive linemen. They have people who can make dynamic plays that change the trend in the game. So to kind of a long answer to your question, I am optimistic that this team has the potential to be one of the best ones LSU's ever had.
Let's talk about the opening opponent, Georgia Southern. Everybody talks about, you know, they have quite a history in their program of success, and they run that triple option thing. When you hear triple option, what comes to mind to you defensively?
Well, you know, when I hear triple option, one thing comes to mind, but it's not what they play. They call it kind of a triple option, but they run it out of a spread. A triple option, the traditional, and when you look at Navy and Georgia Tech and Army, those are kind of the only teams that run the true triple option. And it is a quarterback under center, a fullback behind him who is right up close to his butt, a halfback on the right side, setback, halfback on the left side, setback. Occasionally you'll take one of those halfbacks and put him on the wing. And two tight ends. Sometimes you'll flex a tight end out. It is a running attack, and it is a triple option. Either the quarterback is going to keep it, or he is going to pitch it to one of two guys, or he's going to hand it off to the fullback. So those are that's the triple option, and there are three one options. Off of that, they also, of course, occasionally will throw a pass. That's not what Georgia Southern does. They don't pass the ball. They run it, but they run it out of a spread. And so they use the same concepts. They make you defend the entire field, but they do it out of a spread, which is very unusual for a triple option. The modern-day version of triple option really is the one-pass option, which is one of those that's become fashionable even in the throw game, where you have a quarterback, usually in the shotgun, who'll take the snap. He will read the defense. So in the key, and the thing that is consistent with all of these option offenses, is that it puts the defense in the position of not knowing what the play is really going to be until after it starts, because the quarterback has the option of making the decision. Either he does one thing with the ball, or he does something else with the ball, or he throws the pass. And he doesn't make the decision until the ball has been snapped. And the thing about LSU's spread that they run is that the blocking is simple because the tackle-to-tackle, the offensive line, blocks it as a run. Every play, even pass plays, they block as if it was going to be a run. So you don't have to tell them, block, we're going to run off right tackle, or we're going to drop back pass. You just tell them, and they're going to block the same way every time. So to the defense, it looks the same when the ball is snapped. The quarterback will find the key defender, and he will, if the defender is going to try to stop the run, he's going to throw it to the open receiver. If that defender is going to try to stop the pass, he's going to hand the ball off, or else he'll keep it himself. So it's complicated, but it's simple, because it's easy to learn, but it's hard to do. And the better players that you have, the better chance, of course, you have of success. And that's the key kind of to Georgia Southern. Shia Wirtz is their senior quarterback, 5'11", 205, but a great athlete, and an effective passer, although he doesn't throw the ball very much. But no interceptions last year, the entire season. The only starter in Division One that met that criteria. So they run an offense that is going to be hard to prepare for, and they're going to run it well, and they've had a lot of success. They're well coached. They don't have as many good players as LSU. I don't think their best players are as good as LSU's, but they are. Right. They beat Florida several years back. They gave Alabama several years ago a real, real struggle before the Tide was able to beat them. So they're good. They're going to be a challenge, and LSU's got to be ready for it.
Doug Morrow, kind enough to join us. We talked Georgia Southern's offense, and that certainly is presents issues. But I think everybody wants to see this LSU offense. And, you know, with this RPO, and there was a study done, and most RPOs end up being Rs, which mean runs. But it gives you the option is it spreads the defense out and gives you the ability to pick and choose what you want to do.
Yeah, it makes the defense declare what they're going to do before you as the offense have to make your decision. And that's the key to it. The key is that, really, you know, normally you call an offensive play and everybody on the offense knows who's going to end up with the ball because you got to tell everybody so they'll know how the blocking is going to go. Or if it's a pass, you got to tell so the offensive line will know what the protection is. In the RPOs, the quarterback actually is taking the snap and he's reading the defense before he makes his decision. So he's sticking the ball in the stomach of the running back, but he doesn't give it to him yet. When he's reading his key, and he may make the decision to hand it to him and let him be the runner. He may make the decision to pull the ball out and throw a pass, or he may make the decision to pull the ball out and hand it to somebody else or pitch it to some other back. So there are options that are available, hence one pass option, RPO. But the decision, as with all of those option offenses, has to be made by an intelligent quarterback, and that's a key to it. And that's one of the, I think, the main ingredients for LSU's success this year is that they do have an intelligent quarterback, an experienced quarterback. And just, oh, by the way, Joe Burrow ran this offense in high school.
Yeah.
This is the high school offense that he ran, and so it was easy for him to fit right into it when Joe Brady came over from the Saints, the young coach, who has all of the rage right now because he was so successful in making the Saints a dynamic offense in the NFL, which is hard to do. And it has prolonged, I think, Drew Brees' career to have had a young quarterback coach like that who understood the type of offense and who gave him the best opportunity to extend his career.
I think hell is frozen over and pigs are flying because for the first time, and I can't remember, we haven't had to talk about, oh, my God, what kind of a quarterback are we going to have? I think they've got a pretty good leader. I think they've got a guy that understands what he needs to do. I know the team has bought into him. It's so refreshing on this. But, Doug, we saw in week zero teams couldn't tackle very well. There was a lot of penalties, a lot of mistakes. I'm just hoping for as clean of a possible game as LSU can provide.
I'm hoping so, too. And, of course, one thing that I always mention, and I will continue to mention it forever, and that is that I am so concerned because of the great skill and size and speed of players who play this game now, so concerned about injuries. Alabama lost Dylan Moses for the year, who was their great linebacker, University High here right in Baton Rouge before he went to IMA Academy. IMG Academy, and that really hurts their team because it's the loss of a leader of their defense. That can happen to any team. Not because of clean, dirty playing. It happens because the skill and the speed and the power of the players is so immense these days that it is naturally going to happen on occasion. You don't want it to happen to your quarterback for sure. Like Joe Burrow to be able to carry the ball some, as he did towards the end of last season, because he's such an effective runner. But you don't want him to take a bunch of shots. And so that Georgia Southern's quarterback is going to run it a lot. And, you know, he's going to be taking some shots, too. So that's the, you know, that's why I used the word potentially a little while ago. They have the potential, well, Doug, but that's got to become reality.
Yeah, Doug, I can't thank you enough. Have a great call of the game. We'll do this on Fridays if at all possible, but have a great season, my friend.
Jordy, great talking to you. Have a good weekend, and go Tigers.
All right. There you go. We'll take a timeout. Hour number one in the books. Back with more. This is the Football Friday edition of the Jordy Helpert Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Time to talk Tigers with former All-American Doug Morrell. All rise! It's another edition of Jordy and the Judge.
Always great to have the longtime color analyst, the former LSU All-American, and most important to me, my good friend Doug Morrell, joining us for another college football season. Doug, good afternoon, my friend. You excited about another season of LSU football, I suppose?
Hello, great one. I hope you're doing fine. I understand you had some phone problems. I hope you got them all fixed. And it is great to have a chance to talk to you again.
What year does this make? I have to ask you every year, but what year does this make up dealing with LSU football in the broadcast booth?
I tried to figure it out. I think I've told you this in the past, and I can only settle between 46 and 48. I'm not sure,
that's
so I call it 47.
It's unbelievable. And we're thrilled that you're back for yet another season. Your thoughts, you've seen LSU football, you know, in some preseason games, as Coach O likes to talk about it. Just everybody's been pinpointing this season as a possible great season for LSU football. Do you see the talent there? Do you see the chemistry, the camaraderie, all the things that you know it takes to be successful? Do you see that from afar?
The things that you mentioned, which are all important in order for a team to have great success, LSU has the potential to achieve an A in every one of those categories. They have, I think, I'll go through a few of them just as an example.
Okay.
For one thing,
They've
got a quarterback who won his team over last year as the season went on. He got better and better and better. And then in the bowl game, he took a cheap shot on a pass that he threw that was intercepted, got off the mat, and led the team to victory. And that, boy, you talk about a guy winning the team over with his performance in that game. Because it was a tough – Central Florida had a good team. LSU did not have hardly anybody in the secondary that started the season there. They ended up with wide receivers playing back there. They took safeties, put them at cornerback. But nonetheless, they won the bowl game. And what happens, of course, as you know, at the end of the season, the last game of the season is the one that fans remember. So as the spring – moved on following winter and then into the summer, what people looked back at and remembered was that victory over Central Florida and also the players who were stars in that game. And most of those players are back. The one that they're missing is Devin White, but they've replaced Devin White with numbers rather than just one skilled player. So every position, I think LSU's got better people or the same people, but who are more experienced and therefore have improved. And they also have depth for the first time in a long time at a lot of positions. So, you know, we've talked in the past, Jordy, people like Tyrann Mathieu, the importance for people like that is that they're playmakers. They are somebody that in the course of important games will make two or three outstanding plays that turn the tide of a game. LSU's got about 10 or 12 of those guys on this team. Generally, you only have one, if any. But they've got about 10 or 12, and they come in the form of receivers. They've got a running back. They've got a quarterback. They've got safeties. They've got linebackers. They've got defensive linemen. They have people who can make dynamic plays that change the trend in the game. So, but to kind of a long answer to your question, I am optimistic that this team has the potential to be one of the best ones LSU's ever had.
Let's talk about the opening opponent, Georgia Southern. Everybody talks about, you know, they have quite a history in their program of success, and they run that triple option thing. When you hear triple option, what comes to mind to you defensively?
Well, you know, when I hear triple option, one thing comes to mind, but it's not what they play. They call it kind of a triple option, but they run it out of a spread. A triple option, the traditional, and when you look at Navy and Georgia Tech and Army, those are kind of the only teams that run the true triple option. And it is a quarterback under center, a fullback behind him who is right up close to his butt, a halfback on the right side, set back, halfback on the left side, set back. Occasionally you'll take one of those halfbacks and put him on the wing. And two tight ends. Sometime you'll flex a tight end out. It is a running attack, and it is a triple option. Either the quarterback is going to keep it, or he is going to pitch it to one of two guys, or he's going to hand it off to the fullback. So those are that's the triple option, and there are three run options. Off of that, they also, of course, occasionally will throw a pass. That's not what Georgia Southern does. They don't pass the ball. They run it, but they run it out of a spread. And so they use the same concepts. They make you defend the entire field, but they do it out of a spread, which is very unusual for a triple option. The modern-day version of triple option really is the one-pass option, which is one of those that's become fashionable even in a throw game, where you have a quarterback, usually in the shotgun, who'll take the snap. He will read the defense. So in the key, and the thing that is consistent with all of these option offenses, is that it puts the defense in the position of not knowing what the play is really going to be until after it starts, because the quarterback has the option of making the decision. Either he does one thing with the ball, or he does something else with the ball, or he throws the pass. And he doesn't make the decision until the ball has been snapped. And the thing about LSU's spread that they run is that the blocking is simple, because the tackle to tackle, the offensive line, blocks it as a run. Every play, even pass plays, they block as if it was going to be a run. So you don't have to tell them, block, we're going to run off right tackle, or we're going to drop back pass. You just tell them, and they're going to block the same way every time. So to the defense, it looks the same when the ball is snapped. The quarterback will find the key defender, and he will, if the defender is going to try to stop the run, he's going to throw it to the open receiver. If that defender is going to try to stop the pass, he's going to hand the ball off, or else he'll keep it himself. So it is, it's complicated, but it's simple, because it's easy to learn, but it's hard to do. And the better players that you have, the better chance, of course, you have of success. And that's the key kind of to Georgia Southern. Shy Wirtz is their senior quarterback, 5'11", 205, but a great athlete, and an effective passer, although he doesn't throw the ball very much, but no interceptions last year, the entire season. The only starter in Division One that met that criteria. So they run an offense that is going to be hard to prepare for, and they're going to run it well, and they've had a lot of success. They're well coached. They don't have as many good players as LSU. I don't think their best players are as good as LSU's, but they are. Right. They beat Florida several years back. They gave Alabama several years ago a real, real struggle before the Tide was able to beat them. So they're good. They're going to be a challenge, and LSU's got to be ready for it.
Doug Morrow, kind enough to join us. We talked Georgia Southern's offense, and that certainly is presents issues. But I think everybody wants to see this LSU offense. And, you know, with this RPO, and there was a study done, and most RPOs end up being R's, which mean runs. But it gives you the option is it spreads the defense out and gives you the ability to pick and choose what you want to do.
Yeah, it makes the defense declare what they're going to do before you as the offense have to make your decision. And that's the key to it. the key is that really, you know, normally you call an offensive play, and everybody on the offense knows who's going to end up with the ball because you got to tell everybody so they'll know how the blocking is going to go. Or if it's a pass, you got to tell so the offensive line will know what the protection is. In the RPOs, the quarterback actually is taking the snap, and he's reading the defense before he makes his decision. So he's sticking the ball in the stomach of the running back, but he doesn't get it to it yet. When he's reading his key, and he may make the decision to hand it to him and let him be the runner. He may make the decision to pull the ball out and throw a pass. Or he may make the decision to pull the ball out and hand it to somebody else or pitch it to some other back. So there are options that are available, hence one pass option, RPO. But the decision, as with all of those option offenses, has to be made by an intelligent quarterback, and that's a key to it. And that's one of the, I think, the main ingredients for LSU's success this year is that they do have an intelligent quarterback, an experienced quarterback, and just, oh, by the way, Joe Burrow ran this offense in high school.
This is
the high school offense that he ran, and so it was easy for him to fit right into it when Joe Brady came over from the Saints, the young coach who has all of the rave right now because he was so successful in making the Saints a dynamic offense in the NFL, which is hard to do. And it has prolonged, I think, Drew Brees' career to have had a young quarterback coach like that who understood the type of offense and who gave him the best opportunity to extend his career.
I think hell is frozen over and pigs are flying because for the first time, and I can't remember, we haven't had to talk about, oh, my God, what kind of a quarterback are we going to have? I think they've got a pretty good leader. I think they've got a guy that understands what he needs to do. I know the team has bought into him. It's so refreshing on this. But, Doug, we saw in week zero teams couldn't tackle very well. There was a lot of penalties, a lot of mistakes. I'm just hoping for as clean of a possible game as LSU can provide.
I'm hoping so, too. And, of course, one thing that I always mention, and I will continue to mention it forever, and that is that I am so concerned because of the great skill and size and speed of players who play this game now, so concerned about injuries. Alabama lost Dylan Moses for the year, who was their great linebacker, University High here right in Baton Rouge before he went to IMA Academy, IMG Academy. And that really hurts their team because it's the loss of a leader of their defense. That can happen to any team.
It happens
not because of clean, dirty playing. It happens because the skill and the speed and the power of the players is so immense these days that it is naturally going to happen on occasion. You don't want it to happen to your quarterback for sure.
Although you would like
Joe Burrow to be able to carry the ball some, as he did towards the end of last season, because he's such an effective runner. But you don't want him to take a bunch of shots. And so that's the Georgia Southern's quarterback is going to run it a lot. And, you know, he's going to be taking some shots, too. So that's that's why I used the word potentially a little while ago.
Yeah.
They have the potential, but that's got to become reality.
And Doug, I can't thank you enough. Have a great call of the game. We'll do this on Fridays if at all possible, but have a great season, my friend.
Jordy, great talking to you. Have a good weekend, and go Tigers.
All right. There you go. We'll take a timeout. Hour number one in the books. Back with more. This is the Football Friday edition of the Jordy Helpert Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pulled off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
It's hour number two of two, and away we go on this Football Friday. The helmets have been scrubbed, polished, relabeled. All the cleats are all in place. The unis are ready to go. The Cajuns heading to the Superdome. Tigers at home against Georgia Southern. Football is finally here. And if you're into numbers, there are more than 6,000 new LSU Tigers on campus this fall, hailing from all 64 of Louisiana's parishes, from all 50 states, and over 100 countries. All Coach O wants is 102,000 in the stands for Saturday night. 6:30 kickoff here on 103.7 The Game. The Game televised now on the SEC Network. So without further ado, it's time to take our daily walk around the sports water cooler on this Friday. CD, button, please.
It's Friday. That means we get you ready for the weekend ahead with five,
one, two, three, four, five
big questions headed into your weekend. Now let's get it going with your Friday 5 edition of Hot Topics.
All right, CD, Friday 5. Number one is,
I think we need to start off looking at the Texas A&M Aggies, Jordy. Definitely causing a lot of grief for the LSU Tigers. I don't know if you saw that or not. What Jimbo Fisher's office has a giant mural of last year's 7 overtime ball game. And then last night, they took it one step further. They were inside College Station to open up the season against Texas State. And they had, get this, commemorative cups celebrating the 7 overtime victory with the final score on there. Jordy, it feels like right now Texas A&M is not only stoking the fires of this rivalry, but they could be very well angering the karma gods well ahead of the season finale in Death Valley.
Payback, payback, payback. A lot of fish to fry before then, but, don't think the clever LSU Tiger fans won't have something in store for Jimbo and the Aggies. But a lot of fish to fry beforehand. They humbled Texas State 41-7. That's great. They get Clemson next Saturday. Good luck. Good luck.
Definitely. They're going to have to try and stop one Travis Etienne, who was just absolutely in fuego last night. Just, it was amazing to see what he was able to do on 12 carries over 200 yards. It's only week one, and, it was against Georgia Tech, a team that, less than ideal. Not exactly the best week one opponent in the world. But you have to think that is absolutely huge for him and his Heisman chances.
Oh, yeah. No question. And remember, kid from Louisiana. I wonder if he'd been given the same opportunities here. He's flourishing at Clemson. Good for him. A 90-yard touchdown run never hurts. But he is a tremendous talent and has an NFL future just waiting for him. He's really, really good.
Oh, he really is just phenomenal. And, you brought it up perfectly. Would he have had the same opportunities at LSU as he has had at Clemson? I think so. I think he would definitely have a solid chance. But I feel like, if LSU would have wanted him, they would have gotten at him hot and heavy early on. That was one of the big reasons why he jumped over to the Clemson Tigers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think they learned their lesson with John Emery, who was a commit to Georgia. They said, we can't keep letting these good running backs get away from us. So they put the full court press on him, got him. Good for Travis Etienne. He's a hell of a football player.
It's going to be fun to see as he evolves throughout the season how this team works the offense around him, because they can wind up being an absolute monster with Trevor Lawrence starting to turn his game around and be able to kind of get things going in a sophomore season.
They may split the Heisman votes between them, and somebody else will sneak in and win the thing. Tua!
Jalen Hurts, that's where I'm going right here, right now. I feel like he's the guy. He's going to continue the stranglehold that they have on it.
I'll bet you a Diet Coke on that one. No three-peat for the Sooners. No way. No way.
I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen, but of course I think we need to move over a little bit for a minute or so. On the MLB, more and more controversy, especially when it comes to the Houston Astros and the strike zone late in yesterday's matchup. Josh Reddick gets called for a strike 3. Pitch was clearly below the knees. And it just feels like every other week we hear something like this. We had this on Monday when Justin Verlander got tossed after mouthing off a little bit in a blowout victory. But now we're talking about it again on Friday. This happened yesterday. And it got me thinking, why are we still going to wind up having to deal with this human error? It feels like now we're starting to make a stronger case for these robot umpires that we've been talking about for so long.
Is it just the Astros that are complaining, or is it everybody complaining? Because if it's just the Astros, deal with it. Come on. I mean, it's human nature. Sometimes it happens. I'm sure the Astros don't complain when a call goes their way. So, I mean, if you average it out over the course of a long marathon season, I bet it averages out. Astros, get off the lawn of the umps, play ball, and go win yourself a World Series. Stop it. Enough.
I like it, Jordy. I like it a lot. But one thing I don't like, I'm really kind of sad to say this, Eli McGuire, former Raging Cajun, released by the Jets earlier today, only played in 3 games last year, but it seemed almost like an inevitability with Le'Veon Bell. Now there, he's going to be the bell cow for that team. And also, I believe they have him, Ty Montgomery now with the roster. So definitely was a stack lineup for the former Raging Cajuns to stay aboard.
Well, maybe, you know, there's 31 other teams he's auditioned. Somebody may want to pick him up from the waiver wires and give him a job. So fingers crossed for Eli. Fingers crossed.
Exactly. It's going to be something huge to see what happens with him over the next couple of days. He's obviously, you got to set your 53-person lineup. And if Eli McGuire isn't part of a team, it's going to be tough for him. In 2019, heading into his third season.
XFL.
I think that's
your boys at the XFL. That's it.
I'd be intrigued by that. I think that wouldn't be half bad. You know, he joined him. Landry Jones as the second player to sign to the XFL. He'll be in that stat line forever and a day. I wouldn't mind that. Not gonna lie. But of course, other things that are worth talking about. Go ahead.
You know, it's an opportunity, and I'm all for opportunities. That's great.
Exactly. And, you know, before we kind of wrap things up here, I want to get your thoughts on what happened last night, the final preseason game. Relatively meaningless, but a 16-13 loss. Who impressed you more, like, through 4 preseason games, who impressed you more at the quarterback position? Was it Teddy or Taysom?
Oh, I like Taysom. I'm not sold on Teddy at all. But it's almost not fair. Drew Brees is so accurate, nobody else can come close to that. So I automatically go, golly, if that's Brees, that's a touchdown, and Teddy overthrows him or whatever. Look, hopefully we'll never see Teddy Bridgewater this year. We will see Taysom Hill.
Oh, definitely.
The only way Teddy gets in there, you know the only reason Teddy gets in there, and we don't even want to touch upon that.
Garbage time?
I love Taysom Hill. I love what he brings. I love... No, because Drew's going to get his numbers, man. He's going to try and get numbers after number. Drew never comes out. Knock on wood. So unless it's a complete blowout, and then he's just going to hand the ball off. So anyway, we shall see. But we'll get predictions on games here shortly because we'll have Monday's headlines on a Friday. But next, George Faust on high school football and the Raging Cajuns. Hot topics brought to you by Cajun Chef, the best hot sauce on the planet. Do yourself a flavor. Bring some Cajun Chef hot sauce with you wherever you go. Everything tastes better with Cajun Chef hot sauce on it. Back in a moment.
This is Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game. The Blonde Bomber is back, and better than ever, as you're locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
All righty. Friday, that means it's time for Faust. George Faust, sports director, KLFY. Big night in Acadiana with all the jamborees, the Kiwanis Jamboree at Cajun Field, and then, of course, the Raging Cajuns heading down to Nolens to take on the Mississippi State Bulldogs. George, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm terrific. So busy night for you tonight. I'm sure you got your crew all lined up and ready to roll. What can we see on KLFY tonight, highlights-wise?
Yeah, we're going to be all across Acadiana. Of course, one of the biggest jamborees in the state is the one at the Cajun Field with the Kiwanis Jamboree. 68 years they've been putting that thing on.
Yeah.
And it just gets bigger and better every year. They do a phenomenal job with it. Tonight they have a couple of interesting matchups. You have, like, Southside High School. Finally, Coach Josh Fontenot going to unveil this team that should have uber amounts of talent because of the number of students that have decided to go to this school. But we're going to see what they have over the past few years. I think it's 4 or 5 years. They've kind of played a JV schedule, and then last year they had a couple of varsity games, and now finally they have their full-fledged varsity team, so that's going to be fun. But they get to play Notre Dame, so a nice little matchup there, a 5A school against a 2A power, and so that'll be fun to watch. Louis Cook always has his guys ready, so you know that's going to be fun.
Sure.
That's probably the matchup I'm looking forward to the most. Tonight is that game between Southside and Notre Dame, just because you don't know what Southside has and you know what Notre Dame has, and they can kind of test their mettle against a 5A team against a 2A power.
Yeah, that Notre Dame's is just a machine. Yeah, they run the same system year in and year out, and they're just really, really good.
Yeah, it's amazing what Louis Cook's been able to accomplish over there in Crowley, and just the level of respect that not only his players give to the coaching staff, but the level of respect that other programs have for Louis and that program. So, yeah, that's definitely one of the top programs in the state for sure.
Highlights across the board tonight, KLFY. Tomorrow it's Bloody Marys, beignets at the Benz, 11 o'clock kickoff, right, between the Bulldogs and the Cajuns. And I remember not too long ago, LSU played in a very similar situation against Tulane, 11 o'clock kickoff. They wore some goofy-looking uniforms, and they literally walked through the first half. I can remember vividly being in the locker room at halftime, and the paint was peeling off the walls from the coaches and the things they were saying to the players. LSU did wake up, and they ended up winning the game. Maybe this is something that benefits the Raging Cajuns as well, because last year it was pretty ugly.
Yeah, it was. And you got to remember, last year Mississippi State had the number one defense in the whole country.
Right.
But they lost a lot off of that team. And so, it's funny because I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a big Mississippi State fan. He's also in the business, so to speak. He's a sports director up in Indianapolis, and he's a huge Mississippi State fan. So he called me, "Hey, what these Cajuns got?" And I was like, "Man, look, I don't know. You know, I'm not in the business of prognosticating and telling you, hey, bet against the spread or anything like that. But I like what the Cajuns are doing, and it might be a prime, you know, just a perfect mix of." You know, an early morning start time, Mississippi State team still trying to find their identity under a second-year coach. And it might be one of these things that kind of all the right arrows are headed in the right direction for the Cajuns, where they might get an upset. But you never know, and I do like the early starts. I remember asking I've asked college coaches this a lot, and any coach, in fact, you know, when do you want to play the game? Do you want to play at 7? 11, 2:30, 3:30. What time would you most want to play a game? And almost every coach, I would say, if I asked ten coaches this question, eight of them would say they want to play right when they wake up. They don't want to wait till 7 o'clock at night.
Right.
They want to get that game over. I guess in a coach's mind, they're like, all right, let's go. So maybe the 11 o'clock thing works well for Coach Napier, and you know. You play a bunch of teams that you know aren't on the radar. If you're in the SEC, you play a team that is not in the radar. You're going to get those 11 o'clock slots. You know, being an Ole Miss guy, Ole Miss used to play 11 o'clock games all the time. Remember those old JP games,
Jefferson Pilot games? Absolutely. But look, coaches love the 11 o'clock start because they're in their offices at 5 o'clock in the morning. Kids, They want to play at night, man. You can forget about the 11 o'clock start.
Yeah, absolutely. The kid, that's a what time wake up call? Wake up call is like at 5, and then you got to get up and eat breakfast at 6, and then that's tough on a player. But yeah, you're right. The coaches all want to play them early.
George Faust, KLFY. One thing I'm looking for out of this Raging Cajun club, man, they were up and down offensively a season ago. They scored 42 points, at least 42 points, 5 times. But they were held under 20 points in 5 other games. So, man, if you can get some consistency, and again, it goes back to the new quarterback and being able to pass the ball when everybody else says, go ahead, I dare you.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference from this year to last year with regards to the offense for the Cajuns is going to be that stellar running back core they have. I think that is going to give them that consistency that maybe you're talking about there, Jordy. Because when you have a three-headed monster and all three of your running backs could be number one running backs on another team in your conference, right. I think you have something special there. And so if some guy gets hurt, and to be honest with you, there's another guy, a number four running back that nobody's talking about, TJ Wisham. You're not talking about him because you haven't seen him. He's a walk-on who just got a scholarship. So I think their depth at running back will provide a little consistency on the offensive side of the ball this year. And I'm really excited to see what Levi is going to be able to do if he can create, you know, you run the ball. That's going to open up passing lanes. You know how it works, Jordy. run the ball, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, Bam's got a touchdown. A 30-yard pass over the middle. He's going on a quick slant or something like that. So I think what's going to happen is this running game for the Cajuns will give them a lot of consistency on that offensive side of the ball, and maybe that can contribute to a little more consistency with regards to scoring the ball and putting up big numbers when you need to in a game, and mostly in a conference game. I think in the conference they're going to be set. Maybe they can go steal one or two of these non-conference games. That'd be huge for Coach Napier this year.
No question. If it was a year ago, I'd say good luck running the football against that defensive front. But those guys are all gone, and so it's a new chapter for Mississippi State. And I do believe that the avenues will be there if the strength of this club, the offensive line, can do their job. Man, they got enough running backs to certainly tote the pigskin early and often.
No, they absolutely do, and you're right about that. I mean, doesn't it always boil down to the big guys up front, though? I mean, that's
no
where
question.
It's at. That nobody ever gives them credit, but you know, if you can dominate that offensive line, if you can push your guy in front of you a half yard off the block or a yard off the block off the snap, then you're gonna be all in, and you're gonna get that extra jump, that extra yard, that's going to be huge. Come down. You do that 3 times, and instead of going from 4 yards a carry to 6 yards a carry, man, that I'll take 6 yards a carry. We'll run it 3 times and get that first down. You know, I mean, it's not that. It's really not that difficult. It's just hard to do. It's not a difficult concept.
Right.
It's just hard to execute.
So this is always the unknown in the opening game. Mississippi State returns just 4 starters on the defensive side of the football. Their best safety's gone. Their best defensive linemen are gone. They still have a pretty good linebacking crew. But in game 1, we saw it in week 0. There's always mistakes that happen. There's always penalties here and there. The tackling was so poor. What do you hope to see out of the Raging Cajuns for them to have a shot at this thing with Mississippi State, a prohibitive favorite?
Absolutely. Well, here's what I'm looking at. And it's something that Coach Napier has harped on all fall camp. I was going to say spring camp, but it's all off season. He's really harped on how impressed he's been with the secondary and how the secondary continually improved over the spring camp, the fall camp. And so that, to me, is where they need the most growth, and that, to me, is where Coach Napier said it seems like they are getting that growth. So if they can play up to the level that they need to play at, to constantly, pester the wide receivers for State. And you know, who knows what their quarterback's going to do. If you can get to him a couple of times with Zion Hill or maybe Jacques Boudreaux on a couple of linebacker blitzes or something like that, then we might be talking about, hey, we're in this game in the fourth quarter, and we being the Cajuns, they're in that game in the fourth quarter, and they can maybe sneak out of there with a W, and that'd be phenomenal. But I think the key is the secondary, and that's what I'm going to look for, is how well is that secondary playing, because that's something Coach Napier has been harping on all fall camp. Hey, the most improvement's been in the secondary. Most improved, I mean, press conference after press conference, he's mentioned that. So that's probably what I'll try and keep my eye on defensively.
If there was ever a name more suited to be a raging Cajun football player, you tell me Jacques Boudreaux. That's classic. It's perfect.
Isn't it? He's from Holy Cross, too. He's from New Orleans. So he's a great kid. I've talked to him numerous times, and he kind of anchors that linebacker core for the Cajuns there.
George Faust, Sports Director, KLFY, all the high school coverage. You'll have everything covered for Saturday with the Cajuns, the Tigers. We get them each and every Friday. We're very, very appreciative. Now go back to work. You got a lot of hours ahead of you, my friend. Thank you.
No problem, Jordy. Thanks for the time. Good talking to you.
All right. You take care, George. Faust, KLFY, a new segment coming up. Monday's headlines on a Friday. Next, the Jordy Helpert Show. 103.7 The Game. 1037thegame.com. Hi, welcome back. The Jordy Helpert Show, Friday edition. Football Friday is upon us. Good luck to all of those in the high school reigns as jamborees are underway. And the college football season is really, really here now. Week one, football games across the board. And we've got a new thing we're venturing into here on the Jordy Helpert Show. We're going to give you Monday's headlines on a Friday. So we're going to welcome the triumvirate back, the tripod back together again. Say hello to everybody, George Becknell.
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing?
All right. Say hello to everybody, CD.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I'm back again.
All right. Yeah, so that this kind of ties in, guys, with our predictions of sorts. So you get to have a headline, and you get to explain why. So let's welcome in our guest first, George Becknell. George, headline number one that we're going to see on Monday.
Headline number one in the Advocate is vertically unchallenged. In a 40-point blowout win over Georgia Southern, the LSU Tigers went vertical in a major way. Joe Burrow and Miles Brennan combined for 450 yards and four touchdowns with five passes over 30 yards. In LSU's new-look offense. Those two tackles that Coach O are raving about will help create a clean pocket for the quarterbacks, while Jefferson and Chase and everybody else in that receiving core, that is balls at tight end, just catch balls all over the field. The LSU's offense has evolved, and we're excited about it in Baton Rouge.
Oh, I love that headline. All right, CD, what you got?
I got something for you. We're going to stick with LSU, obviously. I think when you look at the Advocate on Sunday or Monday, whenever you're going to wind up looking at it, I think it's going to say spread the wealth. We talked about it all week long. It's a strictly spread offense. I think we'll see that in full effect. And more importantly, Joe Burrow will be on an absolute heater. It will see that offense work its wonders. And they'll also shut down that triple option. That'll be a little byline, a little sidebar. The defense leaves Georgia Southern, no options.
I like it. I like it. All right, my headline for LSU coming up is Joe makes the RPO go. Joe Burrow ran this offense in high school. How about that one? And go is G-E-A-U-X. He ran this offense in high school, put up immense numbers in the state of Ohio, record-breaking numbers. He's a veteran. He's a film study junkie. He understands this. Plus, it helps Miles Brennan as well, because that's what he ran back in high school as well. So, R stands for run. P stands for pass. O stands for option. Joe controls everything. They did a study. When Joe Burrow was running the RPO, 90% of the time it led to runs. So don't think that it's going to just be a lot of passing, contrary to what my friend George had to say. I think he'll take what the defense gives him. I think LSU has more strength up front. I think LSU covers this thing. I think they send a message to the rest of the world, and in particular those guys in burnt orange. We're going to score a lot, and we're going to take care of business, and we're not going to show any mercy. Here's who we are. Here's our identity. Now you stop us. Joe makes the RPO go. George, headline number two.
Well, Jordy, this one coming from the Dallas Morning News. We don't need him. After negotiations between the Cowboys and star running back Ezekiel Elliott go south, team owner Jerry Jones says, we're prepared to play the whole season without Zeke. When you're talking about negotiating contracts, it's all about leverage. While Ezekiel Elliott is a big-time star and a big-time talent, he has 2 years left on his rookie deal. The Cowboys have a very good offensive line, a good defense, good receiving corps, and a solid young quarterback. They can fill in with their backup, and he can do almost as well as Zeke in that offense. Ezekiel Elliott may not play in the 2019 season.
Go ahead. Go ahead. All right. Clinton, headline number two from you.
Headline number two, and we're going to make our way up north to the New York Post, and it reads, keeping up with the Joneses. We're going to wind up having to talk about the fact that Daniel Jones is going to be the starting quarterback week one for the New York Giants in the 2019 season. I think that's where we're going to wind up seeing what the New York Giants do, because, hey, why not test it out week one? He looked really good in his preseason games. Let's see what he does when the live bullets are flying and it's ones versus ones.
Does that tell me that the Giants are already tanking already for Tua? Is that what they're doing? I don't know.
Tanking for hashtag we'll tanking for Tua. That's the Colts tanking motto.
Tanking for okay. All right, let's see. My second headline in the Advertiser/Advocate, Bulldogs find the Cajuns spicy. It was a 56-10 win a year ago for the Bulldogs in Stark Vegas. It was year one of Napier, year one of Moorhead. Moorhead's lost a whole lot of players, particularly on the defensive side of the football, which was their bread and butter last year because their offense was putrid. So the only way they won games was compliments of their defense. I like what Billy Napier's doing. I think the culture is right. Cajuns aren't going to win, but they're not going to get beat 56-10. So I think the Cajuns keep it close. It's an early game. I talked about it before earlier. LSU was in a similar situation against Tulane years ago. They sleptwalked through the first half, and Tulane kept it close, and they beat the spread. Mississippi State's going to win the game. Cajuns will keep it close, and the Cajuns get out of it with a little bit of a check, with their spirit still intact, and a whole season left to go with a very manageable schedule comparative to who they are and where they are. Bulldogs find the Cajuns spicy. George Becknell, headline number three.
Headline number three for me is Athens again. Team USA is upset by the lowly Czech Republic in a country where LeBron James, Steph Curry, James Harden, and others call the United States home. We managed to put a team together with only three NBA All-Stars headlined by Chris Middleton. What are we doing, Team USA Basketball? What has this come to?
What is the deal? I thought Greg Popovich was so well-respected. He's the new coach. Mike Krzyzewski handed the reins over to Pop. Nobody wants to play for Pop. What's the deal?
Apparently not, man. Like you look at that roster, that roster would have a hard time beating the Warriors. Like they might not beat the Warriors, to be honest, if you look at them. You know, it's ridiculous, man. In a country where, you know, you got the 92 Dream Team, the 2008 Redeem Team, and all these guys, the country that created basketball, Chris Middleton is the best player on our team, and Harrison Barnes is still on the team. Come on, man.
Harrison Barnes. Come on. All right. Not so good news for Team USA Hoops. All right, CD, headline number three for you.
Headline number three, and we're going to go all the way to The Athletic. You might have to go to sign up for it because it's going to be behind a paywall. It involves one of the big national games. Pac-12 earns respect. That's what's going to happen Saturday. Oregon-Auburn, one of the big national matchups, and the Ducks are going to be flying together and getting it done. Maybe we see a flying V kickoff formation.
Ooh,
and we see
yes.
The Oregon Ducks beat the Auburn Tigers succinctly on Saturday.
Succinctly with the flying V. I'm going to the same game. My headline reads, "The Ducks, Knicks, Gus." Gus Malzahn will be they'll turn the gas to high, they'll light the flame, and the hot seat will get higher and higher. He goes into the ball game with a freshman quarterback in Bo Nix playing in Arlington in Jerry's World, matched up against one of the top quarterbacks in the country for Oregon. Oregon's strength matches up very well with Auburn's strength. Auburn's defensive front is their bread and butter. Nobody has a better offensive line than Oregon. When it comes down to quarterback play, give me the veteran who's going to be a top five pick in the NFL draft over the rookie who may end up being a great quarterback one day, but not on this stage, not at this time. Gus, you're not going to make it, baby. Your season is going to come to an end in Auburn this year. You'll be looking for a job probably at Arkansas when they get rid of Coach Morris, and Gus will move back to Arkansas then. But the Ducks, Knicks, Gus. Anything else you have, George? Come up with another one.
I got one more. Last one for me. Well, I could keep making them all day. Feeling mellow, question mark, in a surprise move, but, you know, backed by Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, the Brooklyn Nets signed veteran Carmelo Anthony to a one-year deal because Kevin Durant will be out for the season. With a solid roster but with a lack of scoring, Carmelo Anthony will provide good buckets for this Brooklyn Nets team this basketball season.
All right, well. They're nuts in Brooklyn. They're nuts in Brooklyn if they sign Melo. But you know what? He had his best success in Syracuse, also in the state of New York. So maybe they can move the Carrier Dome to replace the new arena in Brooklyn, and maybe Melo will feel more comfortable there. But, okay, if that headline comes up, man, you win. You win hands down no matter what else happens. You can go 0-for. If that headline pops up on Monday, you win. Plain and simple. CD, anything else from you?
I got one more, Jordy, and we're getting right down to the heart of things on 1037thegame.com right after the Cajuns-Mississippi State game. That headline will read, "The Bulldogs sleepwalking through Bourbon Street." I think we wind up seeing it be a very competitive ball game, like you said. But I feel like maybe the first game with Tommy Stevens at the helm, I feel like that offense will be sleepwalking quite a bit as they begin the season in New Orleans.
All right, sleepwalking. I said it. It's time for a Bloody Mary's beignets in the Benz. So a fun time will be having. And look, we talked to our friend Logan Lowry, who covers the Bulldogs. I asked him, are the fans, are people coming down? And he goes, no, they're not excited about this game at all. Maybe that factors in with the team. And I know Napier's going to have the Cajuns foaming at the mouth, ready to roll. Cajun Nation will be there. So you never, ever know. My headline on Monday reads the following. Time to talk Longhorns. The much-anticipated game. And don't tell me that the Tigers aren't thinking about it, because I promise you they are. Don't tell me the fan base is solely focused on Georgia Southern. I'm sorry, they're not. They're looking at Matthew McConaughey, the professor. They're looking at the Longhorns, and we're back from their quarterback, and this is going to be the trendsetter for the rest of the season. Tigers will be ready. We finally get to talk about it, and we will cover it wall to wall. It's the most important game of week two of the college football season. Everybody's going to be there, and we're going to talk about it. So the Tigers will take care of business. They'll blow Georgia Southern's doors away to send a message that, hey, you may be back, but we're coming. And we're ticked off that you didn't give us many tickets, but Tiger Nation always finds a way. They'll go to the secondary markets. They'll be there, and Purple and Gold will show up in Austin for that nationally televised game. So there are our headlines Monday on a Friday. Guys, that was fun for me. What do you think?
Oh, I love it. I had a ball, man. We might be on to something. We might be the best trio in sports radio. I don't know what you think.
Well, CD, you're going to have to save this, and then we're going to have to come back next Friday. We'll give a running tally on who was right, who was wrong, and we'll go from... George called Mello going to Brooklyn. We're 1-0 against him already, CD, so we're in good shape. We got the early lead, but it's not how you start, it's how you finish, right?
It might have been a reach, but, you know, it's one of those things where if I'm right, oh, my God, I'm like a psychic.
Yeah, you're right. You ain't right. You ain't right. That ain't going to happen. Okay, so last thing before we close, give me the LSU score with Georgia Southern.
I'm going to go ahead and say 56-12.
CD, you got a number?
I got 42-0. LSU just cruises past Georgia Southern. Like I said, they leave them no option. The defense will shut out the Georgia Southern Eagles. Shy words, maybe he has a little bird poop lying around on that car still.
Maybe they get a score late in the game when they put everybody else in. I'm going to go 49-10 LSU. Either way, they cover. No, I'm not buying a beer inside Tiger Stadium.
Come on, Jordy.
Sorry. I'm not doing it. Not till there's a big game, and then look out. All right, boys, there's your headlines Monday on a Monday headlines on a Friday. So good job. Enjoy the weekend, George. CD, we're back to wrap things up here. The Jordy Helpert Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Here's three pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
All right, a football Friday coming to a close. Yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun. We had the weather report. We had Larry Holder. We had the Nickel Report. We had Jordy and the Judge. We had Fausti talking high school and the Cajuns. And George Becknell and CD and I with Monday's headlines on a Friday. Hope you enjoyed that half as much as we did bringing it to you. Yes, indeed. All right, let's see. History lesson time. We go back to the year 1997. On this day, August 30th. The Houston Comets beat the New York Liberty for the first WNBA championship. Of significance, he later became the head coach of the LSU Lady Tiger basketball team. Van Chancellor was the head coach. Van's a good friend, was a very good women's basketball coach. But the Comets, and they won like back-to-back, they were dynamic in the beginning. They had some superstar players. So on this day in sports history, if today is your birthday, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. Hope you have some great cake and some ice cream and a present or two. That'd be great. You share it with the likes of the late, great, splendid splinter. Ted Williams was born on this day back in 1918. What a ball player he was. From the SEC Network, Jordan Rogers, Aaron's brother, is 31 years old today. Let's see who else you shared. Oh, man, just give me a tip or two. Warren Buffett is 89 years strong today, still making bank day after day. And Cameron Diaz, the actress, is 47 years old today. So happy birthday to all of them, and happy birthday to you. If it's your anniversary, I hope you keep that in year after year after year to it. So we've had to wait all these days, all these nights, ready for football season, 241 days ago. And remember, LSU's season opener against Georgia Southern, we'll have it right here on 103.7 The Game. If you want to turn on the sound on the radio and watch it on TV, remember, it's been changed to the SEC Network because of the approaching Hurricane Dorian to the state of Florida. Our thoughts and prayers to all Floridians. I hope you stay out of harm's way. I really, really do. And whatever you do, Dorian, when you hit land, just go away. Just go away. Is LSU going to come out, as Coach O said, guns a-blazing? They better. You got a fan base that is dying to see it. So don't worry about Texas or tipping your hat. Come on out and do what you do. Set up your identity. Play the game your way. Don't wait. Please don't wait. Just let it rip. Send a message to your team. Send a message to your fan base. Send a message to college football. LSU's got a really good defense, as always. Oh, my gosh. Now look what they're doing offensively. Holy cow. Holy cow. Every coach hopes for, one, no injuries, two, no turnovers. Well, I think turnovers will come. I just hope injuries don't. We'll be back here Monday. Shortened version, 1 hour version on Labor Day, but we'll recap. A Tiger win. Unfortunately, I think it's going to be a raging Cajun loss. And the Saints' final 53-man roster. We'll have it covered from coast to coast. And then we get to talk about Texas. What a game. CD, as always, job greatly done. Thanks to all of you for listening in. Thanks to our partners like DC's Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia Exit in Brobridge, with everything you need for your fun-filled Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays during football season. I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia Exit in Brobridge is DC's Little Capital Exxon. Hope you have a great Friday. Hope you have an even better weekend. Come on back Monday, same time, same great station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Hope your team wins. Until then, I'm Jordy Helpert. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.